That's the spirit.
Kia ora, Peter. How are you?
Yep, I'm very well, thank you. Yep.
Oh, good, good, good. How was your weekend?
My weekend.
Is that kind of your working week, the weekend?
Yeah, partly. Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yes, I have a fairly intense weekend. Got to keep up with a lot of religion.
There's so much of it out there. I mean, and right. The proof of it is you're back week after week.
Yep, that's right. Very good.
So we are heading to the Emerald Isles, is that correct?
We are indeed. Yes, Ireland, the story of Irish religion. Pretty significant for New Zealand because the Irish story has had a big impact on the kinds of, especially Catholicism, but also Presbyterianism in New Zealand.
Yeah.
So, although the first Catholic priests were French, the first Catholic lay people were largely Irish migrants, and some of them also people who had been imprisoned in Australia and then cut across to NZ to get away from the government.
Right. You know, I hadn't really thought about this. You know, you just some of these things we take for granted, and you know, there's even a kind of section of Catholicism called Irish Catholic, isn't there? Or is that kind of a
There really isn't such a section, but there is a distinctive tone to Irish Catholics, which is pretty intense and much given to a kind of magic and healing and a kind of interesting brew of folklore and religion.
Mm.
So it's always been distinctive. And in places like the west coast of the South Island, where Irish came in large numbers during the gold rushes, and poor French priests tried to bring them to heel, they quickly discovered that they had little in common. So it wasn't until in the 1870s, when there was the first Irish bishop, and that was the Bishop of Dunedin, and Irish bishops became a feature, not just in New Zealand, but in Australia especially, and in some other parts where there was strong Irish presence, for example, in the USA.
Hmm.
So militant Irish, hatred of the English, defence against the brutalities of the English towards Irish revolutionaries.
Right.
Became a real feature of Catholicism in New Zealand. And the Catholic magazines used to report, for example, the Irish football results. And part of the reason for that was that the Protestant and secular schools excluded in the 1920s the Irish, the Catholic schools, from playing games against the state schools in rugby.
Huh.
Quite astonishing prejudice. And in fact, at that point, a lot of Irish schools, Catholic schools, turned to other games like football and league in preference.
Wow. So interesting.
Quite a hostility. Now, the other thing that's really striking is that a lot of the religious orders, especially the in the schools, were predominantly Irish people. So it was said that in the course of the 19th century, maybe a half of the clergy throughout the world in English-speaking countries was from Ireland. So
wow.
This is partly the result of the potato famine, which drove a lot of Irish out of Ireland.
Right.
But huge numbers of religious were part of this.
And also part of being in that kind of world is you're told to go, right? Like to go and
spread
the word. Mm. I guess I was thinking that when you said the French and the Irish discovered they had very little in common, I suppose, is that, but when you know, not really joking, but is it like the hatred of the English was maybe the common thread between Ireland and France of the time?
I guess they shared that. That's true.
Which is, I guess, what I wonder, maybe that's how both of them, you know, being on either side of England, physically, geographically, I guess, maybe that was had some contribution to being like, well, we're still into this whole thing, but we want to be different to these jerks in the middle. So yep. maybe that's why the two of them had such strong presence. I don't know.
Yep. No, I think this is all part of it. And you see, there were some incredible run-ins. In the 1920s, the assistant bishop of Auckland made a speech in the town hall that caused great controversy, also because of the misreporting of the New Zealand Herald. Mm. Nothing has changed. and that led the government to prosecute him for being against the New Zealand government because he had got them to sing God Save Ireland instead of God Save the Queen.
Wow.
And he was found not guilty, but I mean, that was a pretty significant thing to take a Catholic bishop to court for being seditious. On the other side, you've got to remember that Northern Ireland, and remember, it was all one island until 1920.
Yeah.
Northern Ireland, this was where the Cromwell's forces had a huge impact, and predominantly Northern Ireland was Presbyterian, and almost all the actual traditional churches of Ireland were grabbed by the Anglicans during the English Reformation, so that the Catholics were in effect an illegal religion in their own land. And so the resentment of the Church of Ireland was considerable, as you can imagine.
Yeah, that is, it's so intense, isn't it? Like,
yes.
the history of it was so, and so political.
Yeah, now I want to bring you up to date.
Sure.
This is where it gets very interesting.
Everyone gets along now, surely?
Maybe.
Sorry, go ahead.
Maybe, but what has happened since the 1980s has been real hostility growing towards religion in Ireland. Still probably the country at the highest levels of Christian participation, especially Catholic participation, but enormous proportions of the population have turned, especially young people, have turned against the church. And there's many a movie that deals with these issues, and a lot of it has got to do with sexual abuse of children by priests,
yeah,
and by the appalling role played by the church in grabbing children who had been born out of wedlock and subjecting their parents to rough treatment, the discovery of mass graves. Gosh, there's incredible feeling in Ireland against the Catholic Church. It's really on the back foot.
Yeah, no doubt. It's and then I guess on further to that, there's also, I imagine, probably the sentiment being that religion has, you know, in Ireland and other places like it, I guess, but Ireland is really unique in the sense that there was so many battles between Protestant and Catholic that there was almost no room to say, you know, it's like, you know, grabbing someone by the scruff of the neck and saying, which one are you? And you have to say one or the other, rather than just saying, oh, look, well, actually, I just live down the road. I don't believe in anything, you know. There's almost no room for that for a long time. So
that's right. And so in Northern Ireland, especially, the intensity of this with a man like Ian Paisley, who was both a politician and Presbyterian minister, although he was kicked out of the mainstream Presbyterian church, there was phenomenal destruction. Now, at one point, Presbyterian and Catholic were roughly level pegging in Northern Ireland. Today, it's very clear that Presbyterianism has declined.
Mm.
Catholicism is now the largest religion in Northern Ireland, but there's still a lot of bitterness. And, you know, the Battle of the Boyne is remembered in the apprentices' marches, when they remember the glorious 5th of June, I might have that date wrong, when they remember when Cromwell and their mate William III exercised their authority to seize control of Ireland. So there's still intense bitterness. And it's very interesting. There is still in New Zealand an Orange Order, which
right.
recalls the glorious days when the Protestants got control of Ireland. So it's very striking indeed.
Interesting.
Now, the big question is, you know, which way is Ireland going to go? Because Presbyterian Church recently has been caught up in the child sex scandals, which have involved most churches, most places, and the moderator of the Presbyterian Church has been forced to resign the last few days.
Oh,
that's
really?
The first story I saw, yes. The Catholic bishops are in disgrace because they won't or don't know how to deal with the abuse that has gone on within the Catholic Church. It's really intriguing that the second religion, Catholic version of Christianity in Ireland now appears to be, of all things, the Orthodox Church.
Really?
Which I think probably represents a totally different alternative that people just want to get away with from anything that is either Protestant or Catholic. So that's really interesting.
It's like, you know, there's those kind of crime sagas where there's, you know, the two warring families and there's a, yep. you know, and then later in the book series of books or in the TV series, you know, when they need to spice up the show a little bit or the storyline, you know, they add a new family who's kind of coming up off the, you know,
yep.
suddenly showing their strength, and there's these Orthodox cats, you know, muscling in on the block.
Yeah, that's right.
Interesting.
Yes, I mean, I was so intrigued to hear recently an interview with somebody who's a famous secularist who's come out on the Christian side, but his Christian side is the Romanian Orthodox Church, somewhere in the west of Ireland. That seems so, so bizarre.
Wow.
Yeah. So I think Ireland is a little symbol of what happens to a very religious country when the religion starts turning toxic. It's pretty significant, yeah. It doesn't mean the end of religion, but it does mean that lay people just feel incredibly cheated of what they've wanted.
Yeah. Oh, totally. And look, you know, we could fill up a whole radio station's worth of weeks talking about the abuse scandals and everything, of course. But like, you know, it's so interesting, as you say, they don't know what to do with themselves or what to do with it. But it's none of the options seem to be taking responsibility and acknowledging it and talking openly about wanting to fix it. It just seems to be like, oh, I don't know. What do we do about this fact that we've done this thing for so long? It's just kind of crazy. And no wonder people have lost their faith in it, because it's like, you know.
But in the meantime, one thing I would say is that watch out for movies or reports on, say, Irish Catholicism in the States, which is still a significant force in the USA, and of movies about Catholic priests and their shady stories. There's some very, very good movies and documentaries about these subjects. It's a vivid story, because Ireland is it's a pretty vivid country, I guess.
Yeah. Interesting. It'd be interesting to see a secular Ireland start to take hold and what that does to the culture.
Yes, it would be. I mean, in France, of course, rather than a secular France, we're watching almost a Muslim France appear. I don't think that's going to happen in Ireland, but I do wonder whether the Poles might reappear, because the Poles are the other fanatically Catholic group in society, and the Poles, of course, want out of Poland. They've been recently made very uncomfortable in Britain because of the English getting out of the EC. So I wonder whether the Poles are going to take over Catholicism in Ireland.
Interesting. Well, we have to wait for the next series of our TV show. Thank you so much for the call. Again, you know, I think I could fill up the whole show with our chats, but we've got rock and roll music to play, and you know, the devil's got to have his advocacy at some point.
Well, that's right.
Sure, it's fair. It's only fair. That's right. Thank you so much, Peter, and we hope that you are well and enjoying your what is to other people a Sunday is on your Monday.
Excellent. Very good.
Bye bye.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye.
Right on. Well, after this, we'll have some Elliot and Vincent.